and call this second monthly meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, May 27th to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we have the agenda before us. It's kind of light, so this should be a quick meeting tonight. Do we have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Nope.
I move we approve the agenda as read, or as submitted.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda. I move we approve the consent agenda, since we've both all resigned it.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, public comments not related to the agenda. We're going to limit the comments to 3 minutes. So do we have any public comments that need to be mentioned that don't pertain to the items that we have on the agenda? Hey, all right, then we'll move right into the second reading, of which we have none. So that means nothing's going to happen tonight. So then we'll go into the first reading for discussion only. And first up is Bob Cunningham and Company.
Jim, you want to tee it up?
If I could do a little preface, Bob and I and Mary have been meeting for quite a while talking about the expansion of his business. You know, he is renting a spot from us now and doing all the work in there. But he has a need for working on larger boats. And he came with an idea of building a large steel pre-engineered building. So he's looking at building a building 70 by 120, so 70 feet wide at the opening, 120 long, something big enough to get the heavy haul-out in. We toured with Terry to talk about operations in the areas that wouldn't really inhibit operations that much. And the place we came up with, I'll show you on the map, the overhead here, is right on the corner of the shipyard. Is right here along our sand filter. So if we went all the way back into the lumber yard to the fence with the building, it would come out about 40 feet out into the yard. So this would be the square, about 10,000 square feet we would be looking at for expansion. That way it would limit any impacts to yard operations. So I don't know a lot about the project. Bob and Mary and other partners are here to talk about it. So Bob, you're up.
It's 70 by 120, you know, going in the corner where he sat. The big lift goes in so we could deal with bigger boats also. And we do, again, want to use it for new boats. I mean, that's basically it. It's a pre-engineered building. Gets us out of, you know, puts everything inside so, you know, environmentally it's going to be a lot better.
What kind of floor, Bob?
It'd be concrete. Yeah, because everything would be reinforced for the big lift.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How tall is it?
60 feet.
So does that fit within our height thing that we have?
Height limit is 70.
In fact, building number 3 of the Townsend Bay, which takes the heavy lift, I think the building itself is only like 55 feet tall. And that's always measured midpoint on the roof line, if that makes sense. You know, it's not at the peak, you know, from the eave up, go halfway and then kind of draw a line. So this would be taller than the Townsend Bay building.
So this would be the tallest building out there.
It's probably worth a little bit of history here. Back in the early 2000s, Platypus Marine was doing a lot of yacht projects here without any building. And they were looking to build a building. And they came to us and we actually agreed to do it in the exact same location. And they wanted a 70-foot tall building. And at the time, the building height was 55 feet. And we went through a very lengthy process with the city council to the extent that I probably went into at least 24 homes up on the bluff up in back of Safeway with my camera. We had a crane. We ran up a target, if you will, 70 feet, and I went to visit all these homes and actually took pictures, you know, from their picture window, from their deck, etc., to see whether to obstruct views. And long story short, after making a presentation to City Council, they approved the entire area that includes Townsend Bay. You know, if you come down here, cut straight across here, this whole area is approved up to 70 feet in height.
So that includes the old lumberyard?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And probably because of the bluff and the trees, you know, it really didn't block anybody's views. Yeah, so 70 feet is totally permittable.
But it doesn't include where Haven Boatworks is now?
No. Uh-huh. It goes straight across, you know, in front of Townsend Bay's buildings right through here.
Okay.
So we had anticipated maybe putting a slab in that corner for, in our boats, as far as taking them down. Has there been consideration of that? I mean, where would we move that slab?
We actually talked about moving that out farther.
Yeah, towards the water.
Toward the water from there, the DNR project, if that ever materializes. So that would be slated for...
where we replace all the soil.
Right in here.
And when there's no DNR project, which would be most of the time, it would just be another regular boat space. Yeah, we just put somebody's big project on there.
Now, there will be a considerable amount of infrastructure that they're going to have to put in. If you remember, the yard is ballasted, so it's 3 feet higher than the lumber yard. So number one, they would have to be ballasted for 300 tons. And you need three-phase power.
Right.
So bringing three-phase power in, that would all be on their development plan, along with all the stormwater improvements. There are no stormwater improvements in the lumberyard site. So there will be quite a bit of just improvement besides the building.
Yeah, the electric would be coming from the street. We've already checked with Pod, D&D, already priced everything. It would come down from the pole behind the building. They put in transformers for three-phase right there. So we wouldn't be interrupting anything that was being done.
How does the stormwater situation affect the rest of the lumber yard?
Well, it's easy because we have a sand filter that runs the whole perimeter, so we can tie into that sand filter. It's just not there.
Okay.
We never put catch basins in back there, so that would all have to be plumbed in.
This building also, the material, there's no zinc, no anything, no contaminants, and you could even use the runoff water, to run it into the storm drain, and, dilute that even more, because it would be so clean.
So maybe I missed it, but I thought that you were pointing to the ballasted part. You're pointing to the part that's in the lumber yard?
It's really half and half.
Half of it, half and half.
Half and half.
We go all the way back to the fence and the street line.
Oh, okay.
So that we don't have to come out of the shipyard and there's a boat space out there.
It's a difficult corner just because of the geography there. Yeah, we stuck the Western Flyer back in that corner. We just needed someplace to put it. But the old lumber yard, it kind of comes to a point. And it's difficult to maximize the space there. So I really think, given the limitations of how much open space we have that's buildable, this is one of the areas that we still could accommodate a large building without much impact on the open yard.
Will it sit geographically oriented like the Townsend Bay buildings?
No. It'll come straight off the fence line. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the other three.
Yeah, I guess it's close. It may be a little straighter than that.
Okay, but it's kind of like it'll be perpendicular to the fence line.
Right. Okay. So what we're asking for today is if you would like staff to pursue negotiating with Mr. Cunningham a lease to bring back to you.
Of course, any lease would be predicated on getting all the proper permits and all that sort of thing. So,
Bob, how soon are you wanting to start?
So there's a little more work to be done, but you know, we'd like to do something this year.
Good for me.
I take that as direction to continue negotiating with the Inland Empire Baptist.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yay!
Alright, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in, thanks for bringing all these copies.
Yeah, there we go.
Bedtime reading.
What color are you planning on? The color of the outside steel.
Probably match everybody else. You know, doing the same as all.
Yeah, I'm just a little, you know, because out at the airport every now and then some pilot comes in with a weird color.
Yeah. We're really thinking of putting murals all around.
That's on your nickel, not ours.
Mace thought it'd be about that burgundy like your shirt.
Wonderful color. Alright.
Alright, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so next we have, the Townsend Bay Termination Agreement. I read through it, and maybe you could just explain it to us.
Eric's been working on this for quite some time with Townsend Bay. They had asked for this as part of the deal with the co-op. This would not be effective, obviously, until the co-op closes on purchasing Townsend Bay's buildings. We do have a fee in there, about $500, to just kind of cover some of the, mostly Eric's staff time, which I thought was appropriate. And other than that, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, again, it won't be effective unless the deal closes, which, you know, we're just standing by now. Anything you want
to... I just want to bring to your attention, because of concern to me, was any hazardous substances that are discovered in following years. If you look at number 3, section A, it releases Townsend Bay from everything except the hazardous substance agreement. So if 5 years from now something's discovered on that site that's caused by Townsend Bay, we still have the ability to go after them and clean up.
Well, the law, any federal law, is cradle to grave anyway.
You're right. Yeah.
So regardless of what the lease says.
Yeah. Now we plan on doing, you know, a few soil samples just to kind of check it out at this point.
Yeah, I was just curious about the fee, but you explained that.
How much was their deposit? I mean, is this a big portion of it, most of it, just a teeny bit of it?
I think it's about $2,800 their deposit is. So.
Where did I see? Wasn't there an effective date, like March or something?
Well, September 1 is the expected close.
Okay.
And like you said, if it goes south, their lease stays in effect. But they're already shooting for September 1.
Okay.
Under recitals, paragraph C.
Oh, yeah. So the effective date would never be March 25th. It would just be whenever it gets done. Okay.
This will be a closing document. When the transaction closes, the new lease will be signed and effective. This will be terminated on the same day. It will be prorated and closed.
Okay. You know, they entered into the agreement for the purchase sale with the co-op, but
right
now it's not the actual closing. So I guess this is the first reading. So.
Any more discussion on that? Any more questions?
Yeah, we'll put on the agenda for a second reading next meeting, just to give me the authority to sign it when deal closes.
Yeah, well, I read it over, and it made sense to me, except for section 4. I have no idea what void ab initio means. And why can't you use English?
Because there was a void part. There's a contract that's void from the beginning, which is kind of the Latin void ab initio. So a voidable contract you can ratify later if you...
That's just because Eric likes big words.
Yeah.
All these attorneys.
Actually, Eric didn't do this.
I thought you just said he did.
That's right, Townsend Bay's attorney.
He reviewed this.
He reviewed
Townsend Bay's attorney actually wrote this.
Okay, well, that's fine.
They all have the same book, though.
Lawyers only get to charge for the Latin words.
Okay, so we've gone through the first reading and the second reading. The potential immediate action items, we have none, so we've flown right on to the staff comments.
Anything, Seth?
Oh, nothing.
Sue?
No.
Jim?
We had a very successful pre-bid meeting today. We had 7 participants and 6 contractors that showed up. A lot of great questions. Thank you, is normal magic, and really can talk to contractors on a contractor-to-contractor basis. And so we were looking for some good competitive bids. So it's due on the 19th at 1 o'clock, so we'll know more then.
And we'll do the actual bid opening, right? One minute after one.
No, it's 1:10 actually.
1:10.
1:10 on the 19th.
It gave us 10 minutes to walk upstairs. We're old.
So at 1:11, we'll do the bid opening. But the one thing, and we told the contractors this afternoon, with the legislature still in session, having not been able to reach a agreement on the budget. The RCO money is still sitting there tied up until they reach that agreement. So I feel pretty confident that it's protected, the governor's budget protected all the RCO grant money, but you never know until the legislature adjourns. You know, there's always a chance something could go south on us. So, but we'll get out the bid. The contractors are aware of that. And obviously if we don't get the RCO money, then there's no project. So. The other really great thing that happened today, there's 2 pages there. We had the, about 3 weeks ago, we did the briefing to Moody's to get our bond rating. We got a great bond rating of A1, which for a port our size is excellent. We had our due diligence phone call 2 weeks ago with all the bonding people where I kind of, you know, on behalf of the port, said we're going to, you know, be good stewards and, you know, make sure we're financially, level and continue to be so into the future as far as our financing. Then we had our pre-price teleconference yesterday, and we okayed the bond folks going onto the market this morning at 7:30. At a little bit different interest rate than we previously thought. And what you're looking at in this paper, the this page here, the chart, was your presentation from that Scott put together with the estimated savings of $347,000 over 10 years from the refinancing. The other page highlighted in yellow, we're actually going to save over $100,000 more. We're going to save $451,995.97. And within 1 hour, the Jim and I were, they gave us passwords to get onto the special website that shows the actual bonds being sold. And within 60 minutes, we had the $4,135,000 worth of bonds. 60 minutes later, we had sold $6,310,000. We don't get an extra $2 million. What happened was so many people were buying bonds at the same time, they oversubscribed. And that will all be sorted out as to, and most of these were banks and trust accounts that were buying these bonds. But it was an extremely successful bond sale, and we made $100,000 today.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think that deserves a, well done. Well, I think that deserves a big fancy write up on the news site or on our website, because it's because of that rating that we have, bond rating, our port's condition, that they were able to do that. I mean, that's real money that comes from keeping our things in order.
It was a big team, you know, Cynthia Weed, Lindsay Sodney, you know, she was over in Spokane. I don't know if you met her, you know, she, Piper Jaffrey, they're the ones that, you know, conducted the sale, and Foster Pepper, and like a team of 15 people that helped put this together. So the only other thing I have is tomorrow morning we're going to do a meeting with Marine Trades, trying to get some ideas on how to approach our BMPs. And remember, we had talked about fees and all that, but we wanted to get input from the marine trade, so we're going to have a session tomorrow to get their ideas and how we can, you know, enforce some of these rules and some of the worries that we have with the new permit being rewritten. It won't be published all after the first of the year, 2016, but we may, I fully expect to probably have more than one meeting on this, you know, get some ideas, toss them around, bring it back to the commission, get your ideas and that sort of thing. Then tomorrow afternoon, I got my monthly NODC meeting over in Squim at John Way. That's all I have.
Okay, public comments. George.
Hi. Thank you for that very good news on the bond. I think that demonstrates how well supported it is. And I want to personally thank you for the opportunity to attend your meeting out at Fort Ludlow. I thought it was very productive in terms of the vision and the level of discussion that went on. And particularly thank David Goldsmith for his mediation wording.
Thank you, George. Any other public comments? Okay, Commissioner comments?
Frank mentioned, I thought I liked the format, the new format, I thought was more productive, I guess. I found that the first day that you and I were in the real estate one was quite interesting. I think you guys are in the...
Yeah, we're excited to present
right.
The environmental thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought that went really well. That was very interesting, the real estate side, on leasing. And something else happened by Fort Worth Advisory Committee. I can't remember what that was. Just that, you know, at some point we probably should enter into more discussions with them. I know parks really got slashed this year. And so that just continues to be a downhill slide in terms of what the state's doing. I know PDA is doing well, but I know on the state side they're really stretching Ryan even a lot further than he was. So
what level would you think we would be engaging with them?
I don't know. I just don't know how they're going to manage. Like we've talked about the ramp and that boat ramp out there. I just don't know to what level they think they're going to continue to manage stuff. It's just getting very thin. He's now taking care of Gibbs, Fort Townsend, and Fort Worden. So
well, they're
and
actually Flagler now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got four. That
I guess just a word of caution. All the ramps are in horrible condition.
They are.
And I wouldn't want to suddenly, you know, last time we approached them a year and a half ago, Steve, was it? They were willing to let us manage and repair them, but they wanted to keep all the revenues. That's a non-starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, Roger, I don't know his last name, sits on Parks Commission, and he's in the, what's that?
Schmidt,
yeah. And he's on the advisory committee. You can just tell, I mean, it's a changing world because of budgets and what's going on with the state. It's a changing world. So there might be something where we talk to him. That's it.
I have a couple of questions. What's going on with transient? I mean, how are you handling that now? Because I've heard that... folks coming in for boat work that are transients are being required to leave after 3 months. Is that correct?
We're trying to do that. Sometimes it's difficult, but we still have 122 people on the waiting list and get beat up. So if I have 10 people who have been here for a year working on their boat, it's pretty difficult. So we've given them 3 months, and we're really asking them if it's longer than that, they should pull the boat out of the water. Because it really is affecting operations to have all these people who are waiting for moorage who can't get moorage because we have 28 monthly guests.
Is there something that could be done? I mean, I've had several complaints where the boats had to go to nearby marinas and they could, for them to continue to be worked on by local marine trades. Mm-hmm. And
where it's my understanding that they're just like, hey, you have to vacate and now you're done and that's it. And then they see empty slips, of course, and then they're going, well, wait a minute, there's an empty slip right here.
Yeah, that's a permanent board person. It's either hauled out in the yard or out sailing.
The commission sets the policy. The last commission said get rid of monthly guests. So if you want to change that policy,
tell us and we'll allow them.
You just tell us how many slips you want available and we'll make that happen.
It's a finite resource out there.
Sure, I understand. But in this case, it's directly supporting the marine trades, and it just seems counterproductive for both the marine trades as well as I guess I'm just asking a question. Is there a way to manage this perhaps where the marine trade has to, I mean, it has to be an active project and they have to be able to demonstrate that.
That's already the policy. And can I sit here and honestly say that everyone is a full-blown marine trade project? No, because I know there's some that aren't. Mm-hmm. That people are just using this to skirt the waiting list, So that's the issue. It's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys want us to come up with a policy somehow to encourage that, we can do that. It's really difficult when we get a lot of complaints from people who have been on the waiting list for 4 years. And
sure.
They see a marine trade come in with a boat for a year-long project. And
well, the process of, what would be the term, vetting this particular marine trades business or person or whatever, and to put the onus on them to really demonstrate that it is a work in progress and that, it's benefits on numerous levels to be able to keep the boat here as opposed to making them all of a sudden come to their shop here and then drive over to Port Ludlow or someplace to finish working on the boat.
Let's review it and we can put it on the table along with, as we talk about 2016 budget.
I'm having a look at it in the workshop.
Yeah, one question. I guess I'm not really understanding the problem. If they're working on the boat, is it in the water? Why isn't it on the hard? Is there a reason they can't put it on the hard?
Oh, no. It's just sometimes it's not needed because they're doing some like interior renovations or electrical systems or whatever.
Bottom paint or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper.
It's cheaper to be in the water than on the hard?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not monthly guests necessarily.
We charge more for monthly guests.
It's 25% above. So.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of charging more is to kind of dissuade the ones that aren't really doing the projects, from just, staying here for moorage. But even those people don't mind paying that extra money to get the moorage because they know there is a long wait list. So.
Yeah, what I've been telling Tammy is if somebody's willing to go out on the linear dock, they can stay longer. Most of these people want slips close to the gangways and everything else because they're hauling lots of stuff. And maybe that's the policy. We designate the linear dock as just for marine trades, and we do a long-term spot out there for them.
Well, because kind of my next question is, there's a lot of vacant slips that are being leased by people that are just vacant. I mean, that they're permanent mortgage holders is a way of somehow better utilizing those empty slips when those folks are gone. That's a question.
Absolutely is. But again, most marine trade jobs don't want to move. And so it might be empty this week, but it's not going to be next week.
I can't have everything, but maybe this would be some sort of compromise to accommodate that. That's all I'm asking.
And your boat's in the water, you're moving for us. So, understand the problem. But we're happy to work with people.
Okay. And the other, there's so many moving parts. The other issue that I still get people telling me is that, and I know there are boats out there that haven't moved for years. They're paying the bill every month, so you can't, just arbitrarily cancel the mortgage. But you go out there and there's green slime all over the boat, and but they're taking up a slip that I'd rather have an active boater in there, because that active boater is also going to hire marine trade and spend more money in town. So. The old idea of doing the buoy test, which a lot of ports do, a lot of marines do, once a year or something. So
let's put it on the agenda for next commissioner's workshop.
And just bounce some ideas around.
Okay. My other question was the landfill, or landfall, excuse me, landfall.
We do the same thing.
Site, yeah. It's been, a year and a half since that guy signed?
A year and 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious if there's been any action, that's all.
Yes. We're a little hesitant to...
Slip of the tongue there.
Should we tell them what's going on there?
Well, I mean, we're negotiating with someone else. The cup owner's options expired at the end of May.
Mm-hmm. So we kept their money.
So, yeah, we kept their deposit. We are negotiating with someone else right now to build a 5,000 square foot building there.
A restaurant?
No, no restaurant. It'd be mixed use, marine related below.
And we met with, actually, we met with Jake Beattie today from the Maritime Center. He's interested in maybe participating in some of that. So maybe a joint operation between Maritime Center and Crawford Nautical and another developer. So more to follow.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to, you know, this is breaking news kind of thing. So I'd like to, you know, before we say too much in public, get a little more feel for how firm this is. And,
but I think we should be leery of these one-year options because we've done three of them now, and now one of them is paid out. We've made a couple thousand dollars on it, but still, there's no progress in development.
That's it for me.
Okay. I really enjoyed the conference. There was one workshop I went to on Frank Schmilek did. It was the public, the powers that courts have, and it just had a nice booklet and it outlined each power and ones, which ones are unique to ports and how you can utilize them. And that was just, that was worth the whole trip right there. And of course, the rest of it, you always get so many things out of those conferences, I just can't say enough about them. But here on the home front, we had our energy lunch, and it again was a talk about electric cars and charging stations. And as you know, there's charging stations popping up all around, and the goal is to get people that have Leafs and all electric cars to be able to go someplace and tour and spend money here and then get home after they've charged their car up. And so the PUD and a group of interested people are working really hard along with the port to try to get charging stations throughout a loop that goes all the way. There's a grant that has been obtained to get a charging loop out to the park, Olympic Park. And it's actually going forward quite quickly. We had a lot of people at a meeting, a very long workshop, sitting around going over maps and figuring out places. There's already some charges up at Nia Bay, and we're getting a network of them, and it's actually going forward. And the PUD is very interested in this. It was a project that arose from the energy lunch, but the PUD realized that it's a way that they can offset losses that they're having to pay for net metering out for people that are producing their own power. If they produce their own power, suddenly there's less revenue for the PUD to pay off their several million dollar loan while getting more electricity out than they can get. And of course, charging cars, like charging stations, is a big thing for them. So they're very interested in the work that we're doing toward this goal. And it's actually moving forward pretty well. I was pleased with the progress. And
is that three-phase car out there in Nia Bay?
No, that's a level two out at Nia Bay, I think. Isn't that level two?
Level two.
So, but they have six chargers out there. So they, right now you can't get there. So you'd have to haul your car on a flatbed. But they're going to make the route so that you can get there. And then...
Is anybody keeping track of the actual usage? You know, per week or whatever?
Yeah, these things are networked. They're utilized. The fast chargers that we are looking at putting right here someplace are all monitored by a main controller, and they can assess how many people are using them, how long they use them, and various charging schemes are in place all over the place. But we haven't got to where they're going to be exactly here yet. But no, they're going a lot. They already have the Oregon coast has got a series of charges all the way down the Oregon coast, so that you can take an electric car clear down there. We're trying to get a similar thing up here. And of course, once they've established, then you start getting usage. Until they get established, like the ones in EBay, I'm sure they're not going to use it all until they get the way to
stop by McDonald's in Ellensburg again for a thing of French fries and a Coke. And they get two charging stations right outside their front door, brand new ones.
Really? Anybody using them?
I think they did it more for the PR.
So that's all I have. So our next meeting is Wednesday, June 10th at 1 o'clock right here. And so this meeting is adjourned.
I'm done.